Good evening. Welcome to Calvary Chapel Wednesday night Bible study. Tonight we're in 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter 5, verses 8 to 14. Now let's go to the Lord in prayer. God, we thank you so much for allowing us to study your word tonight. We pray we would understand it, that you would remove our distractions. And we pray, Lord, that we would just enjoy being in fellowship with you. We thank you that we have truth. Lord, minister to us tonight. Show us how you would have us to live. And we pray that we would take it in and just leave here excited about what we have in you. We thank you that we're saved, Lord, that we know the Lord and you know us. And thank you that we know what this life is about and what waits for us in the future. Tonight, help us to just accept whatever we hear and to just know that you will be there to take care of us and we need not worry. Lord, thank you now for this privilege to study your word and to hear you speak to us. In Jesus' name we pray this. Amen. 1 Peter 5, verses 8 to 14. Last week we ended with verse 7, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. What an invitation. Peter is writing to Christians who have been dispersed. They're suffering persecution. We're about to face fiery persecution and trials. Difficult times. Many troubles, and there was great persecution from Nero and the Roman emperors. He's encouraging the Christians to stand fast in their faith, and it's encouraging us today, stand fast in our faith. Stand for Jesus. And Peter's given them instruction on submission and obedience in all walks of life. He warned them they will even suffer for doing good. In 1 Peter 3, verse 17, 1 Peter 3, verse 17, we read, "For it is better if it is the will of God to suffer for doing good than for doing evil." We can even be doing good and suffer because people don't like to hear about Jesus. And some people get upset and we suffer persecution. But the Holy Spirit inspires us through Peter's writing here. He exhorts us to stand for the Lord and don't get discouraged. We have this eternal glory waiting for us. We will be with the one we serve one day. And last week we did end with verses 6 and 7. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. It's good to know the Lord cares for us. And whatever we're going through in life, persecution, trouble, worry, anxiety, difficult circumstances, financial problems, physical trouble, the Lord cares for us. He sees, he knows. And we're to just cast it, throw it all on him. And don't be going through trouble feeling you're alone or there's no hope. Just throw it all upon the Lord. He cares for us. Throw it upon him. And you know, the Lord loves us and desires to help us like you desire to help your children. You would help if you could. And that's the way our Father in heaven is. The difference is our Father in heaven has all power and all riches, and nothing is impossible for him. So it's good to go to our Father in heaven. He can help. You know, when we become believers, we're born again. We become a child of God. So we have to think of it. I'm a child and he's my daddy. And he's a good, good father. And he's going to take care of me. Now, after we read that verse, casting all your care upon him for he cares for you last week, hopefully we all came in here lighter this week. If we obeyed the word of God, everything that came up, we just, okay, Lord, here it is. You take care of it. Now, we're not to worry or get anxious or get burdened down, but here's what we are to do in verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Be sober and diligent. Why? Our adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Doesn't that sound horrible? And we look at the world today and what we go through, and we can say, boy, is he going at it, devouring people, wrecking relationships, causing all kinds of problems. Boy, we are to, so what should we be doing? We are to be sober and vigilant. This word sober in the Greek is nepho. It means to abstain from wine, intoxicants, be watchful, self-controlled. It's used with watchfulness. Have a clear mind and be watchful. That's why he says be sober and vigilant, because vigilant means watchful. We're to be serious, keep our minds clear and alert, and be ready for God's use. That's what we're to do. Be vigilant, watchful, spiritually prepared, clear mind and head, and watching, being alert, so we know there's attack going on and we know where to go with the attack to the Lord. We're to do that because there is spiritual warfare going on. When you're not a Christian, you're not aware of that spiritual warfare. When you are a Christian, he attacks. He doesn't have the devil doesn't have to mess around with unbelievers. He attacks believers. Be vigilant. Be watchful. Because there's warfare going on. There is a battle for your soul and my well-being and your well-being. There's a battle to distract and destroy us. In these times we're going through now, all over the world is virus. Things can get testy. Relationships are being tried. People are divided. We need to be watchful, vigilant, and know, hey, it's a spiritual battle that's going on to distract us. We are Christians, and those addressed in this letter were Christians, persecuted for their faith. The exhortation is to be sober, vigilant, and stand for your faith. They did, and yet they were martyred by the millions. Sometimes it even means death. But you know, death is life to us. That's good. I know we mourn death, but realistically, a believer goes to be with the Lord. So we're to be faithful to our God, be sober and vigilant. As a Christian, we need to be clear-headed because the attack is on. Awake, sober-minded, vigilant, so that we represent Jesus properly and not get caught up just like the world. We walk in the Spirit and not the flesh. I heard years ago how an airliner went over 100 miles past the airport, and I think it was in Minnesota. I don't know if you remember that. Went 100 miles past the airport. Many believe the pilots were sleeping. And it has been stated that pilots do fall asleep at times. Now, I don't like thinking about that when I'm going to fly. You know, they missed the mark by 100 miles. Same thing. If we sleep on the job, if we're not sober, vigilant, watchful, boy, we're fair game. And we can miss the mark living as a Christian. We can miss the target, the goal, the airport, if we're not aware. You know, it'd be good to just live and say, oh, there's no spiritual battle. There's nothing wrong. Things are all going to work out. They're like they always were. Things happen, but everything's going to be good. No, we can't have that mindset. I believe we're in the last days. Everything that's happening points to that. And we know we're a lot closer than they were 2,000 years ago. So it's easy to say we're in the last days. We want to not be caught up in the world to get sleepy and think everything's going to be all right. You know, I don't want pilots sleeping on the job and intoxicated, do you? The Lord does not want his people sleeping or dull. Because, verse 8, your adversary, the one who's against you, is the devil. And he walks about like a roaring lion, seeking who he may devour. Sometimes you don't even know what's wrong or what's going on, but you feel miserable and you're just being attacked. You know what it is? Spiritual warfare, and the devil is trying to rip you off. There's no explanation except him. And I wish there wasn't a spiritual battle. We don't like talking about these things, but we must because it's true. There's a spiritual battle going on. Your adversary. We have an opponent, Satan. Satan means adversary. We have this opponent, and he never sleeps either. As a matter of fact, when we're in bed, he probably has a good time with us at times, doesn't he? When we're lying there and can't sleep. He's opposed to you. He's opposed to me, to God. He's not comatose or intoxicated or sleepy. He's focused. The enemy is focused and knows what he wants to do and what your weak points are and where he can hit home. You notice how things hit you when you're attacked? It hits you where it really hurts. Brings you down. Look at the book of Job. God allowed it. But we must know God still rules. He's in charge. We can make it. Before I was a Christian, I was totally unaware of spiritual battles. When you're not a Christian, you're just living life. You're living life. But once I was saved, I knew there was a different kind of attack coming, a spiritual attack. Because you can't explain it. It's a force you can't see. Physical enemy you can see, but a spiritual attack you can't see, but you can feel it, and it hits you. And we can get discouraged. It can be physical, mental, financial, all kinds of ways that attack comes. He wants to kill, steal, and destroy. Discouraged, get us depressed due to persecution. We can get he wants us, when we go through things, to blame God. Oh, how could a God of love allow this? He wants us to say. And many people blame God when they go through things. He wants us to get down on God, to fall away from God. We need to know what that is, and it's the enemy. And we need to rebuke him, we're going to see, so that he gets out of our life. 1 John 4:4. Let's turn the head there to 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. 1 John 4:4. You are of God, little children, and overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Remember that, because we can get discouraged and think, oh, what if I can't resist him? What if I give in? Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. We have the Holy Spirit in us. Greater is he than the one that's in the world. We can rebuke him. We can pray. We can put on the whole armor of God, and we have victory. Don't give in. You know, a lot of times you don't feel good. You'd like to just curl up, sleep on the couch for 6 months and have somebody take care of you. Just curl up, stay on the couch for 6 months, say, just take care of me. I don't feel like getting up or doing anything. I feel so lousy. The doctors will tell you, you need to get up and walk. So many things we're finding out. As you exercise, as you get up, you move your body, you get on, you feel better. And it heals a lot of infirmities. So we don't want to curl up and give in to the devil and just lay back. We want to go forward, resist him. Focus on the Lord. Our strength is in him. Ephesians chapter 6, the Bible tells us how to deal with this battle. Let's turn to Ephesians 6, verse 10. Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might, and in the power of his might. We need to first of all understand, I'm not strong. I'm not Mr. Tough Guy. I can handle anything. You find out in life, you're not tough. Stand with the Lord, in the Lord, and in the power of his might. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm strong only in the Lord, in the power of the Lord. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The wiles, it means schemings, isn't it? He's scheming on how to hit you, how to get to you. He's watching, observing, and seeing where weaknesses are. We need to put on the whole armor of God that you are able to stand against his schemings. If we put on the whole armor of God, he isn't going to make an effect on us. But how much of the armor do we have to put on? All. I can't say, oh, today I don't want to go outside and wear this face mask. You could get sick. Go to the store. If you leave one piece of the armor of God off, guess what he's going to find? The devil. Going to find that part where you're vulnerable. So we have to put on the whole armor of God so we can win. Why? For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. So it's not a physical battle, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. That doesn't sound good, does it? It's like there's this big evil scene we don't see going on, this dimension that we don't see. And it's spiritual powers, rulers of darkness, spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Wow, there's a lot of bad going on around us to destroy us, to attack us. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. We've got to put on that whole armor or we won't stand. We'll have a lot of bad days. Stand therefore, and he tells us about the armor, having girded your waist with truth. Put on truth so that he can't attack you. What's truth? The Word of God. No matter what you hear, check it out with the Word of God. I feel sorry for people that don't know the Bible, Christians. They don't go to a church that teaches the Bible or goes through it verse by verse, and they miss out on a lot of important weapons that we have against the wiles of the devil. We need to stand on truth, but if you don't know truth, you're vulnerable. You start believing all kinds of things. That's what happened in the Garden of Eden with Eve. First thing he said, did God really say? Duh, I don't know, maybe. No, you want to know what he really said. Hey, and this verse, this chapter, here's what it says. This is truth. So you take up truth. You gird your waist with truth. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. On the breastplate, righteousness. I'm righteous in Christ. I'm going to live a righteous life. I do what's right. You and I as Christians know what's right and wrong, don't we? Because we know when we do wrong. Don't try to cover it or excuse it. Righteousness. Get out of here, Satan. I'm doing the right thing here. This is what the word says, girded with truth, breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Our ministry here is to share the gospel. He can attack by saying, do you think you're really saved? You're not a very good person. We know the gospel. I'm saved by grace through faith. Nothing can touch that. Satan can't touch that. Oh, he can say, but you were so bad this week. You've fallen away. You repent, you turn, you ask for forgiveness. I am forgiven in Christ. Above all things, take the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Can you just picture those darts coming at you? Do you feel like that some days? Wham, wham, there's another dart, another dart. You don't want to let one get through. Those superhero movies, I get a kick out of them. They never get hit. You know, bullets, arrows, whatever, they got this wrist thing on or the shield. Nothing gets through. We're superheroes in Christ. You want to keep those darts away? How do we keep it away? I keep them away. The shield of faith. The shield of faith. We want to. Our faith, we stand in, we stand on, and our faith in Jesus Christ is our shield of faith, which will stop that attack from the enemy getting through to us into our mind about our faith. And take the helmet of salvation. I'm saved. He can't get in my head, can't change my mind. I have salvation in Christ. And the sword of the Spirit, here's our offensive weapon, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Here's what we fight with, not with flesh and blood, but the Word of God. You remember what Jesus did when he was tempted in the wilderness? What did he do three times? Quoted the Word of God. The Lord said, he uses the word of God. Don't use your intellect, your knowledge. We use the word of God, the sword of the Spirit. When he came to Eve and asked her, did God really say she should have said, yes, he did. Yes, he did say that. We stand on the word of God and praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And then we pray. We pray, and then we pray, and then we pray. The spiritual battle is on. Be sober and vigilant. Put on the whole armor of God. Verse 9, resist him. He's coming at you, but resist him. Resist the devil. Don't give in to temptation. Don't give up under pressure or persecution. He may be using someone against you, causing problems. Resist him. Don't give up. Don't get down on God. God has a plan in everything that comes our way. Resist him. You know what's happening when we're going through these trials? God is molding and shaping and maturing us and strengthening us in our faith. We get stronger and stronger. We're equipped for the battle. We don't get bitter under fire, we get better under fire. Resist the enemy. Resist the devil. James chapter 4, verse 7. Turn back to James chapter 4, verse 7. James 4, verse 7. We read here, therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Resist him. How do we do that? Submit to God. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Resist him. You see, Satan is called a deceiver, a liar, a destroyer. Resist him. He loves to destroy homes, lives, communities, everything. Resist him. But we use the whole armor of God. You know, so often couples, married couples, will get into arguments. Probably none of us here, but sometimes couples get into arguments. And rather than pray together, respect each other, and seek godly counsel, they fight and drift apart. We call that pride. Well, I'm not a proud person. Yes, you are. You see, people don't want to give in. And people argue. The first thing, when there's something that's happening that's very serious, you should just say, stop. Satan's trying to destroy us and get in here. Let's pray, get in the Word of God. If you need counsel, seek godly counsel. Don't argue. Don't fight. Don't drift apart. But so many couples do. They won't give in. And you know what I tell couples that are in that position? Your husband is not the enemy. Your wife is not the enemy. Satan is the enemy. And by arguing and fighting, you're allowing him into your home and your relationship. You don't want to do that. See, it's in these everyday things that we allow Satan in. We are to resist him. But you have to know that it's him doing this. Hey, you're not getting in this home. Love one another and follow the Word of God. Resist him. We're to be humble and not proud. See, if we're proud, we're not going to resist him. We're going to stand for ourselves. We need to resist him. He's tricky. He's wise and destroys. Probably knows what kind of circumstances or things to talk about to bring up because he knows you don't agree on this. And boy, that's tough. So if you find something happening, just know, let's pray. This is not good. You're going to have a hard time doing that because we're a proud people. But resist the devil and do it. It's going to take a humbling and say, yes, let's do that. This is wrong. Stand against him and rebuke him in the name of Jesus. Just say, hey, in the name of Jesus Christ, get out of here. Get out of this home. Get out of this place. Get out of my life. Apply Ephesians 6 to your life. And then he tells us in verse 9, resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Be steadfast in the faith under the attack. Love, not hate or be angry. Trust God. Sometimes, as I've said, we just don't understand what's going on in our life. There's this attack. Just know God is there and trust him. But we need to do the right thing. We need to respond properly and know it's the devil. And he comforts these believers, verse 9. He says in the end of verse 9, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. What he's really saying is, you're not alone, Christian. Because, you know, Satan can get us to feel alone. Well, nobody's having this trouble like we're having. Oh, really? Everybody has trouble. Goes through attack. Remember, it's spiritual attack. He's not going to bypass anyone, the devil. You're not alone, he's telling them. All over the world, they're experiencing the same sufferings. They were at this time. And so often we feel we're going through something that is unique. No one else can understand what we're going through. Oh, yes, they can. Everyone goes through trials, hurts, suffering. Christians suffer, persecuted for their faith. Christians were and always will be persecuted for their stand for Jesus. Jesus was crucified for no wrong. He called people to himself for salvation, to repent and get right with their Father, and he was crucified for it. It's not strange. 1 Peter 4, verse 12. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you. but rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. It's not strange what's going on in your life today when you're going through trials. We are in a battle, and we're all in that battle. Don't feel that you're less of a Christian or you're doing something wrong. The attack comes on from Satan. Remember Romans 8:37, we're more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. We're winners. The only way Satan wins is if we let him. If we let him, if we let him in, then he wins. But if we resist him, he can't get in there. Verse 10, but may the God of all grace, who called us to eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. That's a beautiful name for the Lord, the God of all grace. His grace never runs out. The God of all grace. Thank God for his grace. We've been saved by grace. See, God doesn't give me, a sinner, what I deserve. He gives me mercy. Who called us to himself, here verse 10, to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus. God, through Jesus Christ gave me what I don't deserve, grace, eternal life in heaven. I deserved punishment, he gave me mercy. I didn't deserve favor, he gave me grace. Set me free, I go to be in heaven. And he tells them in verse 10, after you have suffered a little while. We need to remember that this life here on earth is just a little speck in time. A little speck in time. Invest in the kingdom of God in eternity. We're not home, we're going home. Taking a long time, isn't it? But we're going home. We're going home. May the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, do four things for you. Four things for us. Perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. May God do that for you. That was his prayer for the believers. Perfect. May he perfect. It means to complete thoroughly. The term was used to mend nets. In other words, make them perfect again. May he perfect you. Perfect, mature, complete the believer. May he establish you and me. That word establish means to be fixed firmly, to set fast. Stand fast, not moved, to make you set in your faith. Isn't it good when you're set in your faith and nothing can move you? No matter what you hear, what people say, you know, hey, if I'm all alone in believing this, I know it's truth. I'm going to be fine. May he establish you. May he strengthen you. We are strong in the Lord. God gives us the strength we need. We're not going to build it up by going to the gym. God gives us the strength we need. The strength comes from God, and we must understand that. We must yield to that and let him give us the strength. And may he settle you. That means to lay a foundation, to be firmly planted on the solid foundation, which is Jesus Christ. May he settle you. No longer seeking any other doctrine or any other faith. We're settled. We're grounded. Grounded in the faith, so that we're not tossed around. Verse 11, to him, to this God we have, be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. To God be the glory, who has dominion over all forever and ever. He reigns. We need to remember that. God reigns forever and ever. It's never going to change. No matter what we see going on, God still reigns forever and ever. That comforts me. So I don't start wondering, what's going on in the world? God's reigning. He knows. He has a plan. He knows what the last day on earth will be and what the conditions will be. And then he addresses some people here, verse 12. By Silvanus, our faithful brother, as I consider him, I have written to you briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God in which you stand. This is the truth I have shared with you. By Silvanus, our faithful brother. Silvanus, many believe this refers to Silas. It's a shorter form of the name, Silas. Peter dictated this letter to Silas, and he and Silas probably delivered it. He's called a faithful brother. It's good to have a faithful brother or sister, a faithful Christian. Isn't it great when you meet somebody like-minded? Faithful in the Lord. And he exhorted and testified to the readers that this is the true grace of God. Stand fast in this grace, in this faith I've been sharing with you. And verse 13, she who is in Babylon, elect together with you, greets you, and so does Mark, my son. Now, she who is in Babylon, what in the world is that? He's referring to she who is in Babylon, elect, well, saved, together with you, greets you, and so does Mark, my son. No one can be certain what this is or who this is. She could be, in the old King James Version, a church or some prominent leader or some woman who is in Babylon. So we don't know who or what it refers to, but it deals with salvation together with you. Maybe when you get to heaven, you can ask, who was that? Babylon greets you, and so does Mark, my son. Now, Mark wasn't his literal son, but he treated him as a son. Mark, my son, believed to be John Mark, the writer of the Gospel of Mark. And in verse 14, greet one another with a kiss of love. Peace to you all who are in Christ Jesus. Amen. Greet one another with a kiss of love. Now, that doesn't mean guys and girls are just kissing each other as they come in the church. You know, one thing, because I can remember in the 70s when we came to Christ, guys would say, you know, hey, we're going to greet one another with a kiss. In context here, greet one another with a kiss of love, we need to remember one thing. Men kissed men and women kissed women. And even in some of the meetings, they were separate, you know. So it was really like a greeting of men to men and women to women. So someone can't run wild with this verse and say, well, I need to kiss you tonight. The Bible tells me to, you know. So it was in the context of men greeting men, women greeting women, and that's what it means. Greet one another with a kiss of love, and peace to you all who are in Christ Jesus. Amen. The best thing he could leave them with and us with is peace to all who are in Christ Jesus. Why? Because only if you're in Christ can you have this peace, this kind of peace, because he's the Prince of Peace. Peace is in Jesus. And then he says, amen. So at the end of the book, 1 Peter 5, next week, or next time we're speaking, we're going to get into 2 Corinthians. We haven't been in there in quite a while. We did 1 Corinthians, but skipped 2 Corinthians. We're going to go to 2 Corinthians. A lot of verses that you're probably familiar with in 2 Corinthians. Lord, we thank you for your word tonight. We thank you for your faithfulness. We pray for strength. We pray for grace. For mercy, and pray, Lord, that we have the whole armor on, not just part of it. We pray that we're protected from the wiles of the devil, and his fiery darts can't get through, and he can't touch our mind. Thank you, Lord, that you've given us a prescription for victory here. Let us remember this. And I would pray for anyone listening to this message, if they're having arguments in the home, trouble, and what they're going through has caused this trouble, I pray they would understand Satan is trying to separate them. I pray you would heal and bring peace to every home. People loving one another, standing on the word of God, enjoying the night. And we pray that in Jesus' name, amen.